The Invisible Fiend Series, Book 1, Mr. Mumbles, written by Barry Hutchison and produced by Be Here.
I remembered. Every line, every detail of the figure before me was... No, not the same. Familiar, but different. The Mr. Mumbles of my childhood hadn't been quite like this. He had been short and skinny, with friendly shining eyes and a gift for slapstick. His speech had always been impossible to understand, but he'd made up for it with his wide range of comedy pratfalls and skillful miming. He had been my funny little friend, my very own Charlie Chaplin. The thing standing before me now didn't look funny at all. The clothes were the same. The overcoat with its high collar, the curve of the hat. Parts of his face looked vaguely like I remembered. The bushy eyebrows, the big ears. But others couldn't have been more different. His once playful eyes were dark and sunken. He'd had jolly, rosy cheeks, but now they were pale and wrinkled, like old paper. Even in the dark, I could make out the spidery, dark blue lines of veins creeping below the skin. Every detail was so lifelike. He was so real, solid, and standing in the middle of my living room. I'm not sure, but I think even when I was young, I kind of knew Mr. Mumbles wasn't real. Not really real, anyway. That's not to say I couldn't see him back then, but I suppose the way I saw him wasn't the same. He was more like a ghost I could conjure up. A supernatural spirit dressed for stormy weather, invisible to everyone but me. My best friend. Not anymore. Sparks of hatred flashed in the dark centres of those eyes. Above them, his bushy, caterpillar eyebrows pushed down, contorting what I could see of his forehead into a twisted frown. The scowl seemed to continue down to the tip of his hooked nose, flaring his nostrils out wide. And his lips. Oh, God, the lips! Mr. Mumbles had always had problems with talking, but it had been a speech impediment, that was all. Now his whole mouth was disfigured. The lips were grotesque, thick, bloated and sewn tightly together with grimy lengths of thread. Each stitch crossed over its neighbour, forming a series of little X's from one side of his mouth to the other, sealing it shut. The holes the threads passed through were black and infected, the flesh rotting away from within. My God! What had happened to him? I should have been off and running, but I couldn't tear my eyes away from his. When I was younger, he'd been a little taller than me, but not much. Now he towered above me, easily 6.5 feet in height. Up till now, the solid weight of the baseball bat had been giving me comfort, but now it felt flimsy and light. Like a child's toy, fighting this monster was not an option. Where before Mr. Mumbles had been thin and spindly, he was now built like a bear. His densely packed frame strained the seams of his trailing overcoat. Hands the size of dinner plates clenched and unclenched into powerful fists. His breathing was unsteady and erratic. It whistled slightly as it came down through his nose. The wind howling in through the window made his coat swish against his knees as he held me in his gaze. The puckered skin around his lips stretched and shifted slightly as he spoke. The low, rumbling mumble was hard to make out, but I was sure I knew what he was saying. It wasn't the first time I'd heard it. I feigned a move towards the back door, then shot off in the opposite direction. The sofa's wheel squeaked as I shoved it into Mr. Mumble's path and sprinted for the front door. The lock turned easily this time, and I hadn't even heard Mr. Mumble's make a move by the time I'd got the door open. Suddenly, an ice-cold grip grabbed my ankle, sending me sprawling onto the front doorstep. I yelped with pain as my forearms hit the edge of the raised stone, bruising them with twin bands of purple. The baseball bat went clattering away down the garden path, but that was the least of my worries. With his hand still tightly wrapped around my right leg, Mr. Mumbles was dragging me back into the house. I lashed out in panic, my left leg kicking violently against the chill night air. Once or twice, my foot found its target and thudded against some part of my attacker. He shrugged the blows off without a word. I'm not convinced he even noticed them. Before I knew it, he was on me, his hands tight on my throat, his face almost touching mine. I could feel his weight trapping me, pinning me against the hard, frosty path, smothering me. As a kid, I'd been able to see him and hear him, but I'd never been able to smell him until now. His stench filled my nostrils, rancid and decaying, like months-old meat left rotting in the sun. I'd have choked on it if I hadn't been choking already. My hands clawed the ground around me, searching for the baseball bat. They came back empty. Wherever the bat was, it was out of reach. I tried punching him, but he didn't flinch. I heard a rattle at the back of his throat and realised he was laughing. His demon gaze burned into me, eyes wide, blazing with a hatred like none I'd ever seen. His hands tightened around my windpipe. The world shimmered before my eyes, forcing me to close them. His hands tightened further still. His hands, so tight. No breath. Hands. Laughing. Choking. Choking. Choking.
Hey, big ugly dude!
Yelled a female voice from somewhere nearby.
Heads up!
I forced open my eyes and peered through the checkerboard which swam before them. There seemed to be a girl walking down the garden path towards us. But that couldn't be right. Mr. Mumbles raised his head. Then, with a crack and a splintering of wood, my baseball bat connected hard with his face. The grip released on my throat and the crushing weight left my body as Mr. Mumbles tumbled backwards into the house. Lungs almost bursting, I kicked myself backwards into the garden, gulping down mouthfuls of sweet, sweet air.
Move!
The voice demanded, and I felt a firm hand pull me to my feet. A girl stood there, older than me, but probably not by much. The rain had matted her dark brown hair against her lighter brown skin. In her hands, she held the broken remains of my baseball bat. On her face, she wore an expression which said, "Don't make me hurt you." "Where to?" I gasped, still getting my breath back. Behind me, Mr. Mumbles slowly sat upright.
"Anywhere but here."
Without another word, she turned and bounded along the path, with me in hot pursuit. Icy rain lashed against me, numbing my face into a fixed scowl. Sheet after sheet of water battered down, blinding me. Several times I thought I'd lost sight of the mystery girl, only to find her waiting for me a little further ahead. Each time I caught up, she barked that she wouldn't wait for me again. She always did. "Who are you?" I asked, on one of the times I'd caught up with her. I didn't have a lot of friends as such, but I knew who pretty much everyone in the village was. This girl wasn't from around here. I definitely have noticed her if she was.
Questions later. Running away now.
We'd sprinted, and sometimes stumbled, through gardens, across roads, along winding alleys, the wind and rain trying to drive us back with every step. The warm glow of Christmas evening seeped out from the windows of almost every house we passed. The temptation to run to any of the homes and shelter inside was almost overwhelming. But I wasn't sure Mr. Mumbles would care where I hid. I suspected nothing would stop him coming for me, and all I'd be doing was putting someone else in danger. Besides, for reasons I wasn't quite sure of, the girl made me feel safe. Well, safer than I had felt before she arrived, at any rate. My legs had begun to feel like lead as I ran down an alley between two houses and skidded to a stop at a T-shaped junction in the path. High wooden fences stretched towards the sky on both sides of a filthy alleyway. Bags of rubbish had been torn open and strewn across the sodden ground. I looked along the narrow passage in both directions. Each way, the path stretched out as far as the eye could see, but the girl was nowhere in sight.
Hello?
I hissed into the darkness. The words were swept off on the wind as soon as they'd left my lips. I tried again, louder this time.
Hello? Girl? Where are you?
A hand clamped down over my mouth, an arm wrapped around my throat. I struggled in vain against the grip as it dragged me through a gap between two tall fence posts and into a heavily overgrown garden.
Shut up or you'll get us killed.
She waited for me to nod I understood before releasing my head from her judo hold. We crouched down together in the long grass at the back of the garden and held our breath. The only sound was the roar of the rain on the cracked stone slabs of the alley. After several minutes of squatting in silence, my legs began to cramp and I had no choice but to straighten up. Sorry, any longer and I was going to... The girl flew at me, knocking me onto my back in the high grass. She squelched into the mud beside me, pulled some tall weeds down over us and held her finger urgently to her lips. I nodded again, not sure what else to do. Slow footsteps scuffed and splashed along the alley. With a final clack, they came to a stop right outside the garden. I'm not sure why I covered my eyes against the darkness. Maybe I thought if I couldn't see Mr. Mumbles, he couldn't see me. Maybe I just didn't want to see that face again. Whatever the reason, I screwed my eyes tight shut and pushed my fists hard into them until colours danced behind my eyelids. After what felt like forever, the splashing and scuffing continued on its way. The girl put her hand on my chest to keep me from moving until she was sure the coast was clear. When she was certain he had moved on, she stood up, pulling me with her. She crept to the gate and peered along the alleyway, barely appearing to notice me. Is he gone? I held my breath as I waited for her reply. Luckily for my lungs, it didn't take long.
He's gone.
I breathed out again as she turned and walked back along the path in my direction. She looked me up and down as she approached, as if only now seeing me for the first time. When she was halfway back to me, she asked the question I'd quietly been hoping she wouldn't.
Who the hell was that?
Just some guy. I lied, stepping backwards into the doorway of the abandoned house and taking shelter below the dirty plastic roof of the porch. I wasn't sure myself what was going on tonight, so there was no way I could expect anyone else to understand.
Right, just some guy,
she echoed. She was in front of me now, fixing me with eyes so brown they were almost black.
Just some guy with embroidered lips and a violent dislike for all things you.
Pretty much.
So, That's it then? Just some guy? You've never seen him before in your life?
Nope. I shrugged. Never. The girl narrowed her eyes and stared deep into mine. I felt myself wilt under her gaze, but I had to keep eye contact. If I looked away even for a second, she'd know for sure I was lying.
You're lying.
Damn! How did she guess?
You know who it is.
I don't, I argued, but I was already talking to the back of her head.
Fine,
she snapped, throwing her hands in the air as she strode away.
Don't tell me. If it wasn't for me, you'd be dead, but fine. Keep your little secret. Why am I even bothering to care?
Mr. Mumbles, I blurted, desperately trying to stop her leaving. She was right. I'd have been dead by now without her help, but the night was still young and there was plenty of time left to die. I'd have a better chance of surviving with her around. Better than no chance at all, at least. She paused at the gate, but didn't look back. I cleared my throat and spoke, just loud enough to be heard over the swirling storm. His name's Mr. Mumbles. He's my invisible friend. I'd expected her to laugh. She didn't. In fact, she didn't do much of anything. She just stood there, framed in the gateway, not doing or saying a thing. I think I'd have preferred it if she'd laughed. When I was sure she wasn't going to reply, I spoke again. Did you hear me? I said...
I heard you.
I watched her turn to face me once again. From her expression, I could tell laughter was definitely not likely to be happening anytime soon.
I risked my life for... Ugh.
She growled, before her voice trailed off into silence. When she spoke again, she sounded calmer, but there was still a dangerous edge to her words which made me uneasy.
What's your name, kid?
Kyle.
Okay, Kyle. Well, I want you to listen to me. I risked my life for you tonight. I could have walked away and left you to be strangled on your front step, but I jumped to the rescue. You remember that part, right? The part where I stopped the crazy guy killing you.
I nodded. Yes.
Good,
she said, flashing me a false smile.
Now, in doing that, in saving your life, I've put myself in danger. You with me? Crazy guy doesn't just want to kill you anymore. Crazy guy wants to kill me too.
He might not.
I broke a baseball bat across his face. I'd want to kill me for that if I was him.
Fair point.
Thanks. You see, Kyle, what I'm getting at, and I want you to listen to me here, what I'm saying is, this isn't a game.
She was right in front of me again, her dark eyes half covered by her darker hair, which the rain had slicked to her face.
There's a man out there who wants to murder us, and frankly, getting murdered isn't high on my list of things to do right now. I can't imagine you're exactly sold on the idea either.
I shook my head. No.
Then tell me who he is, and why he was trying to kill you. The truth, this time. No games.
I looked down at my feet and saw myself reflected in a puddle. Droplets of rain splashed into it, warping my image like a funhouse mirror. I could hear the girl's breathing, fast and unsteady. She was barely containing her anger. I raised my head and braced myself for the storm. His name is Mr. Mumbles, I told her. When I was 5, he was my imaginary friend. Then he went away.
I knew I should have kept walking.
She scowled, and she began to do just that. He came back. I don't know why, but he came back, and now he's trying to kill me.
Yeah, well, you know what?
She shouted over her shoulder.
Right now, I don't blame him. I've only known you 5 minutes, and already I'm half thinking of killing you myself.
The end of her sentence caught in her throat as she stepped out into the alleyway. Clumsily, she stumbled backwards into the garden, struggling to stay on her feet. All the familiar feelings of fear swept over me again as I saw the panic in her movements. I knew what she was going to say even before she opened her mouth.
He's there! He's right out there!
I had to see for myself. I peered out into the alleyway. Mr. Mumbles was walking slowly in our direction, scanning the gardens, hunting us down. I ducked back into the garden before he could spot me.
What do we do?
My voice was so low and trembling, I'm not even sure the words made it out of my throat. Whether she heard or not, the girl pushed past me and grabbed hold of a wheelie bin, which lay on its side in the jungle of grass. It made a hollow boom, like a bass drum, as she stood it upright in the corner of the garden.
Up here,
she urged, scrambling up on top of the bin. She'd positioned it next to where the fence met the back of a garage that had been built onto the side of the house. With a grunt, she pulled herself up onto the garage's flat roof.
Now you, come on!
I risked a glance at the gate and was relieved to see no one there. Still, with Mr. Mumbles out in the alleyway, up and over the garage roof seemed to be the only way out of the garden. Not looking back again, I ran over and began to climb. The plastic bin was slippery in the rain. As I clambered up, my foot slipped and I dropped back down into the garden. Again I tried, and again my feet slid off the wet vinyl. On the third try, I managed to wedge my knee against the rough stone wall and pull myself up into a standing position. The bin wobbled unsteadily beneath me, making me shift around to catch my balance. All the while, I could see the girl scanning the alley behind me. Can you see him? I needed a second to rest, just 1 second to catch my breath before making the final push for the roof.
Yes, he's in the garden. Move, move!
My legs kicked furiously against the wall, and in one movement, I dragged myself up onto the roof. The rough, rusted iron scraped against my knees as I spun to look back at the monster below, who wasn't there.
Gotcha. You went that way.
She said, pointing back in the direction of my house.
You can sure move fast when you need to, though.
What? You... I mean... That's... I nearly...
I gulped down a deep breath and felt my panic die down a little.
That was just plain nasty.
The girl nodded and grinned so hard her nose rumpled up to the size of a button.
I know.
She got to her feet and took a few steps across the corrugated iron of the garage roof.
Now, come on, before he really does come back.
Is this safe?
The metal was rusted into a rainbow of browns and seemed to sag dangerously at one side. As I stood up, the whole roof complained loudly.
"Of course it is,"
she said. To prove her point, she bounced up and down a few times. Each time she did, the metal let out a sharp squeal.
"See? There's nothing for it."
With a final screech of protest, a big section of the roof collapsed beneath her. For a split second, she seemed to hang there in thin air, like a character in an old cartoon, before gravity sucked her down into the darkness lurking below. I froze, not daring to move a muscle. There was no sound but the rattling of raindrops on the roof. The deluge had spent the last few days forming puddles, which now ran like rivers along the iron grooves and down into the hole just a few feet in front of me.
"Girl!"
I said, not daring to shout in case it brought the rest of the garage down on top of her.
"Are you okay?"
If she replied, I didn't hear her, but I told myself that didn't necessarily mean bad news. Even if she was shouting, I might not be able to hear her over the din of the downpour. Like it or not, I had to get closer. Slowly, being careful not to make any sudden movements, I lowered myself down onto my hands and knees. I figured that if I spread my weight out, there was less chance of the metal buckling. Besides, I was so scared at that point, I was finding it difficult to stand. So walking would have been out of the question. Shuffling along, I edged closer to the gaping wound in the metal. Sharp, rusted edges scratched at me with every movement I made. I gritted my teeth and did my best to ignore the stabs of pain. As I got closer to the broken section, I lay flat on my front and inched forwards on my elbows. The roof gave a few low grumbles, but otherwise seemed to be holding. With one final pull, I made it to the jagged edge of the hole.
"Girl!"
I hissed.
"Are you okay?"
I stared down into the garage, but only the darkness stared back.
"Girl!"
"Amina,"
came a reply from below.
"My name's Amina."
There was a series of dull clangs as she clambered free from the tangle of metal she had landed in.
"And define, okay?"
I almost laughed with relief. She was alive and conscious, which meant she could tell me what to do. I'd known the girl for less than half an hour, but already I was placing all my faith in her. Usually it takes me a while to get to trust anyone, but I was too far out of my depth to handle tonight's events on my own, and she'd done a pretty good job of things so far. Until she fell down the hole, obviously.
"What should I do?"
"Let me see now. What should you do? What should you do? Oh, I know. How about get me out?"
"Right, yeah, of course." I thought for a few seconds, trying to ignore the freezing rivulets of rain which were trickling down my back and forming a pool at the base of my spine. It was no use. I came up blank.
"How?"
"I don't know. Throw me a rope or something."
"I haven't got a rope."
"Well, get one."
"Isn't there anything down there? A ladder or something?"
"As convenient as that would be, no. And before you ask, the door's locked too."
"Any?"
"No, no windows either."
"Oh, where will I find a rope?"
"Ropes are us. How the hell am I supposed to... Wait! The garden. There was a washing line, wasn't there?"
"There was,"
I yelped. She was right. A long length of rope had been strung between two metal poles in the garden. It was just what we needed. "I'll go get it." Not thinking, I leapt to my feet. Like a wounded animal, the roof gave a desperate, deafening screech. The world lurched sideways. Something solid rose up and slammed hard against my shoulder, then did the same to my legs. I lay there, motionless, trying to blink away the shapes which danced and swam before my eyes.
"So, did you get it then?"
Something, either me or the metal I was lying on, groaned as I stood up. Now that my vision was clearing, I could see nothing at all. The inside of the garage was just as dark as it had looked from up above. Even darker, if that was possible. It smelled faintly of petrol and chemicals, but the rain pouring in through the hole overhead would soon take care of that. "What do we do now? Have you got a plan?"
"I did have, but it fell through."
Stumbling through the gloom, I reached for the nearest wall. It was closer than I thought, and I smacked into it almost at once. It gave a low rumble, like distant thunder.
"That's the door. And before you ask, yes, it's locked. The metal's quite thin, but not thin enough to break through."
"You sure?"
Determined to make up for not getting the rope, I kicked the door as hard as I could. It rang out like a church bell on Sunday morning, but otherwise didn't budge.
"Yes, I'm sure. And unless you want to draw your friend's attention to the fact that we're trapped in here like rats, don't do that again."
"Sorry," I whispered, feeling stupid. Again. It was becoming a habit.
"Just sit somewhere, will you? Just sit down and don't move while I try to figure this out."
"Wait, that's it."
"What's it?"
We just sit here. We just sit right here and wait until someone comes looking for us. I felt the hairs on my arm prickle with excitement. This was a good plan. A plan which didn't involve any more running or any more encounters with Mr. Mumbles. The perfect plan. My mum will be home soon, and when she sees the house and realises I'm gone, she'll call the police, and then they'll come find us. Amina wasn't responding as enthusiastically to this idea as I'd expected her to. Don't you see? I pressed. We can just stick it out here until we're rescued.
That's not a bad idea. Apart from one teensy problem.
Overhead, what remained of the roof gave an ominous creak. I looked up. Less than a metre above me, the silhouette of a man in a hat hung over the edge of the hole. Amina pointed at Mr. Mumbles.
Him.
This time, he didn't even give me a chance to start panicking. Without a sound, he dropped down through the hole, arms outstretched, reaching for me. I half leapt, half stumbled aside until my back was pressed up against the rear wall. The night surrounded me like a thick black curtain, swallowing everything up, making it impossible to see. Where was he? Where was he? Off to my left, Amina cried out in shock. Instinctively, I turned in the direction of the sound, but it was no use. My visual range didn't even reach the end of my nose, let alone the other end of the garage. She screamed in panic, but it was soft and muffled and indistinct, as if she was shouting from inside a cloud. With a start, I realised her mouth was covered. Mr. Mumbles was smothering the life right out of her. I flew at the sound, wildly flailing my arms around like windmills and screaming for him to leave her alone. After just a few steps, my fists found their target. I heard him spin to face me, and I quickly let fly with another few punches. Most of them missed, and the ones which didn't probably hurt me more than they hurt him. I kept swinging anyway. I was still windmilling when he hit me in the chest. The blow struck like a sledgehammer. I didn't feel any pain at first, just the sensation of no longer being on my feet. Most of the air in my lungs exited in one sharp, sudden breath. What little was left was quickly knocked out when my back thudded against the garage wall. My knees buckled, and I dropped to the floor, gasping for breath. The smell of petrol swirled up my nostrils and caught in my throat. Tiny pinpricks of light sparkled like fireflies wherever I looked. Somewhere, I couldn't even guess where, my imaginary friend let out a low, throaty laugh.
Kyle, are you okay?
I gave my head a shake, trying to clear the cobwebs away. A knot of pain throbbed between my eyes. Oxygen was gradually flowing back into my lungs, but my chest had begun to ache where Mr. Mumbles had hit me.
Define. Okay.
With a rustle of clothing, Mr. Mumbles lunged at me. Still on my knees, I rolled sideways and felt the wind move as he passed just above my head. Close. Too close. The darkness made it impossible to know where to run. There could have been another door, or even something to fight him with, but we'd never know. We'd never find out. If only there was some sort of... A foot splashed into a puddle at my side, and I rolled again, hoping there were no walls waiting in the direction I dived. Near the spot I'd just been, I heard a mumble of frustration. At a guess, I reckoned Amina must be somewhere to my right, keeping quiet so as not to give her whereabouts away. Maybe we could both rush him. He was strong, but the two of us might be able to overpower him if we worked together.
Of course, to do that, we'd have to be able to see him. And for that, we would need... A squeal burst from my lips as a hand caught me by the back of the neck and forced me to the ground. There was a brief flash of pain across my jaw before the lower half of my face went cold and numb. Icy, dirty rainwater swirled up my nose. Frantically, I blew down both nostrils, trying to keep the puddle out of my airways, until there was no air left to blow with. Automatically, my body breathed back in, and I immediately tasted filth and grime at the back of my throat. Coughing, spluttering, I pushed back against the hand which held me, but he was too heavy, too powerful. I thrashed wildly, more terrified of the water beneath me than of the monster above. The puddle could only have been a few centimetres deep, but that didn't matter. The water still made my pulse race and my head spin and a bubble of fear form far back in my throat. It couldn't end like this. Not drowning, please. Please. Anything but drowning. Somewhere, miles off in the distance, I could hear Amina calling my name.
Kyle!
Why wasn't Kyle. She helping me? Why wasn't she stopping him? Couldn't she see what he was doing? Of course she couldn't see. She couldn't see anything. None of us could see anything. I was drowning, and she was just a few feet away, and she couldn't see. Why wasn't there a light? Why couldn't there just be one? With an electrical crackle, a bare bulb burst into life on the closest wall. I felt the hand on my neck relax just a fraction and heard a low mumble of surprise before Amina launched herself at the man on my back. Mr. Mumbles caught her by the arm and swung her behind him. With a clank of metal, Amina staggered into a mound of debris from the fallen roof. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw her head hit the crumpled iron, hard. She whimpered once, then slumped down onto the flooded floor. Finding strength I didn't know I had, I twisted, knocking Mr. Mumbles off balance. He toppled sideways, and I helped him on his way with a kick to the ribs. We both made it to our feet at the same time. Eyes locked, we stood there in the garage, the rain matting my hair and curving the brim of his hat. The light bulb buzzed on the wall, hissing quietly whenever a raindrop touched the glass. I still hadn't quite figured out where it had come from, but I wasn't about to question it. I'd needed a light, and I'd been lucky enough to get one. Now, if only I could find some kind of weapon, I might stand a chance. Almost immediately, my toe brushed against something solid on the floor. I let my eyes flick down, losing sight of Mr. Mumbles for only a fraction of a second. An axe. There was a large, double-handed axe at my feet. Another coincidence? Maybe my luck was changing. When I met Mr. Mumbles' gaze again, I saw something there I hadn't seen before. Something raw and primal. Was it fear? Probably not, but I could have sworn it was something close. Like a sprinter off the starting blocks, he made his move. I bent double, and my hands found the axe handle. It was heavy. Heavy enough to do some serious damage. The silver blade glinted in the light. I gripped the smooth wood tightly. The axe felt deadly in my hands. It felt unstoppable. It didn't stay in my hands for long. Even before I'd straightened up, Mr. Mumbles wrenched it from my grip. He stood and examined it for a few moments, weighing it in his hands, studying the polished metal head, as if it was some weird alien artifact. Backing away,
I quickly scanned the garage for something else to use against him. There was nothing. Aside from the bits of broken roof, which would be too heavy to lift, there was nothing in the garage but me, Amina, and Mr. Mumbles. And the axe in Mr. Mumbles' hands. The blade gave a low whistle as Mr. Mumbles ran at me, swinging the weapon in a wide, sweeping arc. I dropped down onto my knees as, with a whoom, the axe cut through the air just a few millimetres above my head. A crop of neatly sliced stray hair drifted down from the top of my head. My left knee had landed on a small scrap of the metal roof. It was barely a foot square, and it was rusted badly, but it was the only thing which might be able to protect me. I grabbed for the piece of iron and looked up in time to see Mr. Mumbles bring the axe back around. The blade passed behind him, then curved up and over his hat. I blinked, unable to move, transfixed by the graceful movement of the axe as it swung down, down, down towards my face. A split second before I was split in half, the floodgates opened and reality came rushing in. I was about to die. This was no time to admire his axe work. Recoiling, I shut my eyes tight and held up the broken section of roof for protection. It felt like a pointless gesture, but there was nothing else I could do. The axe hit my forearm with a dull clang. Cautiously, I opened one eye. I couldn't believe what I saw. I was no longer holding a rusted piece of scrap iron. Instead, my hands clutched a round, polished metal shield. It glinted in the glow of the bare bulb, and I could have sworn when the light reflected off the thing, it actually went ting. I stared at it, barely even noticing Mr. Mumbles, who was also gazing at the sculpted sheet of metal that had saved me from his attack. Neither of us, it seemed, knew quite how to react. He made his mind up before I did. With a screech, he drew back the axe and brought it down hard on the shield. The impact made my whole skeleton vibrate. I slipped my arm into the leather straps on the inside of the shield, just as he slammed down hard with another violent strike. A sharp pain shot along the length of my arm. Even with the shield protecting me, the axe was doing damage. If this didn't stop soon, it could break my arm in two.
Leave him alone.
Both my imaginary friend and I turned at the same time to see Amina getting shakily to her feet. A thick splodge of treacle-like blood clung to her hair just above her left ear, and her eyes were almost rolling backwards into her head. Despite all that, she was still trying to save me. Me! No one had ever even stuck up for me in school before, so this total stranger was going well beyond the call of duty. For a second, I felt a strange kind of happiness, but the now familiar feeling of utter, absolute terror soon came rushing back. Mr. Mumbles had turned his back on me and was advancing on Amina. She staggered and slipped back down to the floor, her legs not yet strong enough to support her. I saw him raise the axe. I saw her close her eyes. Something began to tingle at the base of my neck.
Get away from her!
I roared, my legs launching me forwards like springs. Mr. Mumbles turned, the axe still raised above his head. I swung at him with the shield before he could bring the blade down. As the metal connected with his jaw, something like an electric shock coursed across the surface of my skull. For a split second, a bright flash filled my vision. When it cleared, Mr. Mumbles was hurtling backwards, a barely recognisable blur of speed. The metal door bent with a boom and a creak as the monster crashed through it, tearing it free of the wall. The warped aluminium skidded and skittered along the wet driveway before coming to rest on the road, 10 or 15 metres away. Somewhere inside the wreckage, my imaginary friend lay deathly still.
Wow, whoever that dude is, he really doesn't like you.
I felt her hand slip into mine and braced my arm against her weight as she hauled herself up. She looked out of the garage, seeing the buckled remains of the door for the first time.
Whoa! How did you do that?
I stared into the empty street. Flashing lights of red and green spilled their Christmassy glow across the tarmac. Behind us, the bare light bulb went out with a fizzle and a pop. I don't know, I managed, eventually. It just sort of happened.
But it was... I mean, you... It's not...
Amina's eyes seemed to be focusing properly now and were open wide with shock. I knew she had a question in there somewhere that was trying to get out, but I didn't have any way to explain what I'd just done. It must have been a lucky punch or something. Come on, now that he's down, we can go get the police. They can take care of him. I chewed my lip. Could the police take care of him? Even if there was an officer on duty, would he be equipped to deal with homicidal imaginary men? I doubted it was something the local constabulary had ever had to worry about before.
The police? Are you crazy?
All drowsiness seemed to have left her now, and aside from the splodge of blood in her hair, she was back to her swaggering self.
You just knocked the guy clean through a metal door. With one punch?
I shrugged, trying my best to play it cool, despite the fact I was trembling from head to toe. So?
So when he wakes up, he's going to be angry. He's going to be bloody furious.
I glanced again at the twisted metal of the door. Did something move in there? Surely not. Not already.
He'll come for you, kiddo. And when he does, I don't think any police force on Earth is going to be able to stop him.